Saturday we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto number 1, Chapter 9, text number 23.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Actually, such concentration is called samadhi, or 100% engagement in the service of the Lord. And one who concentrates his attention in that manner is called a yogi. Such a yogi, devotee of the Lord, engages himself 24 hours daily in the service of the Lord so that his whole attention is engrossed with the thoughts of the Lord in ninefold devotional service, namely hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, praying, becoming a voluntary servant, carrying out orders, establishing a friendly relationship, or offering up all that one may possess in the service of the Lord. By such practice of yoga, or linking up in the service of the Lord, one is recognizing the Lord Himself, and it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita concerning the highest affectional stage of samadhi. The Lord calls such a rare devotee the best amongst all yogis. Such a perfect yogi is enabled by the divine grace of the Lord to concentrate his mind upon the Lord with a perfect sense of consciousness. And thus, by chanting his holy name before quitting the body, the yogi is at once transferred by the internal energy of the Lord to one of the eternal planets. So there is no question of material life and its concomitant factors. In material existence, a living being has to endure the material conditions of threefold miseries, life after life, according to his fruitive work. Such material life is produced by material desires only. Devotional service of the Lord does not kill the natural desires of the living being, but they are applied in the right cause in devotional service. disqualify the desire to be transferred to the spiritual sky. General Bhishma Dev is referring to a particular type of yoga called Bhakti Yoga. And he was fortunate enough to have the Lord directly in his presence before he quit his material body. He therefore desired the Lord's stake for his view in the following verses.
Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Jata Paratamana Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagama Vagnatam Vitam Sajima Sadvaitam Sukadutam Vadirana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivajagam Vitamsha.
Well, you don't have to kill it. You don't have to kill desire. The Buddha said you got to kill it. You want to become liberated, you want nirvana, you got to kill desire. But that's a desire. The desire for nirvana is a desire. So how is it? It's hypocritical. I desire to get free from desire. You see, it's not doable. It's not tenable. It's not practical. But instead of going to that that Buddhistic nirvana, the Vaishnava achieves what is described in the Bhagavatam, nirvana lilambitani, that which minimizes the value of the Buddhistic nirvana. And it's also described in the Gita, nirvanam paramam, the supreme nirvana. So nirvana means to become free from material existence. And that's a wonderful state to desire. But one who desires to achieve that state without actually establishing a relationship with the Supreme Person who is the source of all existence is setting himself up for a major disappointment. Because, as is pointed out in the Bhagavatam, Aruya Krishna Parampadam Tadapadam Yashadnadya Sadushmalangriya. Even after undergoing great penance and austerity, those transcendentalists to achieve the Buddhistic nirvana or the impersonal Brahmajyoti, patanti adho, they fall down again to material existence. You see. Because they did, why? Because they did not desire the lotus feet of the Lord. So why bother trying to purge yourself of all material desires when all you have to do is desire the lotus feet of the Lord and all those material desires are automatically purged? You see? That is Krishna consciousness. Instead of battling it out with your material desires, which are like fires, blazing fires of lust, the blazing fire of greed, the blazing fire of anger, of envy, of madness, illusion. These are blazing fires in the heart. You see? They're very difficult to extinguish. Very, very difficult to extinguish. But if you will simply desire Krishna, then those blazing fires, those blazing material desires will immediately become extinguished. You must develop Krishna Krishna, as we were describing yesterday. The thirst for Krishna, that greed, Balyam Rupa Goswami said. You must become greedy for Krishna. Krishna Bhakti Bhavi, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati Kriyatam yadi katopa labhyate tatta dalayam api mulyam ekalam janma koti supritayana labhyate. Rupa Goswami says pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be achieved even by executing pious activities in hundreds and millions of lifetimes, but if one develops greed, you see, the price to get it is greed. Can be obtained by greed. And he says, if it's available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So wherever you get that Krishna Bhakti Rasa, Bhavita, you see, that is the Sanskrit version of the term Krishna Consciousness, by the way. Rupa Goswami is given as the term Krishna Consciousness in Sanskrit, and Prabhupada translated in English, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita. That's Krishna Consciousness in Sanskrit. So how do you get that Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita? You see that Krishna Consciousness. You must become very, very greedy for it. Just like somebody who's lusty for sex life, you see, or greedy for money. They want power, fame, prestige. That same intensity of desire you must develop for Krishna. Lalayam, that greed for Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya said, I know no one that Krishna is my Lord. And he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or leave me broken hearted by not being present before me, still he is my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. That intensity of love, you see, that you must develop. How much you are greedy for Krishna, that you must develop. That's your ticket for Vaikuntha Airlines. That's your ticket. Your reserved seat on Goloka Airways. That greed. I want Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey! Intensely desiring Krishna. You see. Actually, Krishna is so desirable. He's so wonderful. If you get even a little taste of Krishna, all those material desires, they will completely go away. Therefore, that gopi, she warned her gopi girlfriend. You know that slok from Bhakti Rasamrita, isn't it? She warned her gopi girlfriend. She says, what was that? How's it begin? Smaran, smaran mangi traya padachitam sati vishena dushin. Vamsi nastaka salayam ujvalam from the Cana. Govindakyam haritam nitaha keshi tirtapakante ma pekshishtavayadi sahe mandu spangesi ranga. My dear Gopi girlfriend, if you have any desire to enjoy society and friendship and love in this world, then don't you dare go to Jamuna tonight at Keshiga in this full moon night. Don't you dare go down there to Keshiga tonight. Because if you do, you will see that smiling boy, Govinda. He's casting sidelong glances, and he's putting his flute to his lips, which are like newly blossomed twigs. His fat little body, bending in three places, is shining very, very bright in the moonlight. So don't you dare go down there. So what did that gopi do? Did she hear that? And she said, oh, I'm not going to go. And she, no. That gopi immediately went, let me see this boy Govinda. I want to see that boy Govinda. And what happened when she saw the boy Govinda? She forget about all these material things, society, friendship, and love. So that kind of Krishna consciousness we need, you see, that's the kind of Krishna consciousness we need. That we can see that smiling boy Govinda. The threefold bending form, putting a flute to his lips, and become completely captivated by his transcendental beauty. You see, that's what we require. Then nothing of this world appeals to me anymore, and I have seen Krishna. He's so beautiful. I remember we have a practice in Eastern Europe that in our ISKCON, the parents will bring their children, they want a child name. It's not like initiation, it's a little child, but, you know, give a name for a child. So some mother brought her little daughter and but give her a name. I said, well, I asked the little girl, I said, why do you like Krishna? Or why do you love Krishna? She said, because he's so beautiful. That's why I like Krishna. So I gave her the name Shamasundari. So actually, that Krishna is very beautiful. But isn't that the meaning, all attractive? He's the most beautiful. There's nobody more beautiful, more attractive, more amazing. He's the supreme superstar. You see? There's nobody who has the amazing qualities of Krishna. He's so powerful. He's so beautiful. He's amazingly renowned. And that's really amazing. He's renounced. He has all those queens, all those girlfriends, and he's renounced. But actually, it is certified by Grandfather Vishnu in the Vajrasuya Yajna. He confirmed. He said, even though I am celebrated as Dhiravata, the topmost brahmachari, if I had been in the forest, the Vrindavan forest, all those beautiful gopi girls, I would have definitely fallen down. But Krishna did not fall down, therefore he's a better brahmachari than me. So actually he is the most renounced also. There's nothing in the scripture of pregnancy that came after the Rasa Lila, you see. Pregnancy or abortion. No pregnancy, no abortion. There is no sex pleasure. There is no sexual intercourse, you see. So Krishna is the most renounced self. So you can dance with the most beautiful girls in all of creation and not have any sex with them, you see. Completely transcendental. So he is the most renounced. He's the most knowledgeable. What does Krishna not know? Krishna knows everything. If even Krishna's devotee knows everything, as is stated in the Mundaka Upanishad, Yasmin Vigatam, Yasmin Vigate Sarvam Evam Vigatam Bhavati. If one who knows Krishna knows everything, so if even the devotee can know everything by knowing Krishna, then how much Krishna must know? So there's nothing unknown to Krishna. He knows absolutely everything, past, present, and future. And who can be more wealthy than Krishna? He owns everything. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Can anybody compete with his wealth? There's nothing he does not own. Because everything is his energy. Aham Sarvashakrabhava Mataksavam Prabhartate. I am the source of all the material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. Therefore, he's naturally the owner. He's all his energy. And who can be more famous than Krishna? There's no one who is more famous than Krishna. So a person who has so many amazing qualities, he's so good looking, he's so charming, he's so enchanting, he's so sweet, he's so loving, he's so wonderful, and he has everything you could ever find wonderful about a person is all there in Krishna, magnified millions and billions of times. So you're looking for a companion, you're looking for a friend who will never let you down, who will always bless you at every minute and never exploit you in any way, that's Krishna. Krishna is ready to be your friend. To be your intimate, well-wishing friend. Suhridam sarabhutanam. He has stated, I am the intimate, well-wishing friend of every single living entity. So why are you being so cold to Krishna? You see? Why are you being so indifferent to him? We have to stop being cold to Krishna. He's our most intimate, well-wishing friend in all of existence. Krishna consciousness means we have to learn to reciprocate with Krishna. That intimate friendship he is bestowing upon us at every second, in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, in the temple, on the street, at your job, at your school, in the community, wherever you may be, anywhere in the whole universe, Krishna is always present. We are reading today in the verse that Grandfather Bhishma, he was fortunate enough to have the Lord directly in his presence before he quit his material body. So we don't have that good fortune. Krishna is not directly in our presence. Is Krishna and his name something different?
Are they different things? Krishna and his name are not the same? No, Krishna is fully present in the name. Therefore, we have Krishna's direct association available at every minute. The direct association with God available at every minute. There's a very interesting instruction. Many people in my e-course, many people ask me how to chant their rounds nicely. So many people ask me, how can I get taste for the chanting? How can I properly chant? It's a question I get again and again and again in my emails. So, I'm always on the lookout for things that I can tell them that are very powerful and very effective. And recently I found the most amazing quote in the Veda base. I've been in this town for 41 years. I've never heard anybody even say it before. It's a letter to Vallabhi Devi Dasi. Prabhupada said, for chanting japa, he said, what you do is you feel the presence of Krishna. I was going, wow, that's pretty powerful. Prabhupada said, when you chant your japa, feel the presence of Krishna. I was thinking, this is really revolutionary. I gotta spread this when I'm traveling all over the world. I gotta share this wherever I go, because this is an amazing instruction from Prabhupada, which isn't widely known in ISKCON. When you chant your japa, feel the presence of Krishna. You may say, well, how can I feel his presence? He's not present. Oh, wait a minute, he is present. But the problem is we don't feel it, you see? We're so stone-hearted we don't feel his presence. Because of that lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, that illusion, that envy. They're blocking us from feeling his presence. You see? So it's time to throw away the blocks, you see. Mr. Lust, get the hell out of here. Mr. Greed, go out the back door. Mr. Anger, you can go upstairs. Mr. Madness, go down the basement. You know, get out of here. This is my time to associate with God. You just get out of here. You see. I don't want to think about a pretty girl now. This is my time to think about the supreme pretty boy, Krishna. You see. I don't want all this garbage. You see. I just want to absorb myself in Krishna. Because he is now coming to me mercifully. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then Prabhupada said, but if you can't do that, then fix your mind on the name. That's what we usually say, you know, fix your mind on the name. But that's the secondary instruction. If you can't feel his presence, then mechanically fix your mind on the name. You know, rivet, that's like a yogi, you know, riveting his mind to his yoga practice. Okay, I got to fix my mind. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That's good, but it's not the best. The best thing is to feel the presence of Krishna. Because now you're having your own personal meeting with God. Every day you get to meet with God for 1.5 or 2 hours. Your own private, intimate meeting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when it says that he was fortunate enough to have the direct presence of the Lord, well, you can be fortunate too. If you just remember that Krishna has come in the form of Nam Avatar, then you will have the same good fortune that Grandfather Bhishma had. And there's no difference. But wait a minute, he was standing there. I just have my japa. Wait a minute. Again, you're forgetting. Krishna and his name are the same. Do you know how much nectar there is in the name of Krishna? Do you know how much nectar there is? Rupa Goswami doesn't even know. And he's a fully realized soul. Actually, he's Rupa Manjari in the pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. And even he doesn't know how much nectar there is in Krishna. As he points out in the Vidagdha Madhava, let's see if I can pull it up in the memory here. Tunde Tandamani. Huh? What's the third word?
Latim Vitunate.
Tunde Tandavati
Vitim. Tunde Tandamani Ratim
Vitunate. Ratim. Vitunate Tandavati Lovdingi. She really helps out a lot. I'll go take her on the road with me. Tunde Tandamani. ratin vitanate kandavali lovni karna krada kadamani gatayate kanavi devas priham take the pranganasan gadi vidayate subendiyanam kitim na jane danita kriya vir amitai krishna iti varnadvati. Rupa Goswami, oh, Rupa Goswami is so wonderful, his Sanskrit poetry. And he says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, it's Krishna is dancing on my tongue, actually. He's literally dancing on my tongue. And when Krishna is dancing like that on my tongue, there's so much nectar oozing out of Krishna that my one little tongue just can't capture hardly any of it because there's so much of it. You see? So therefore I'm desiring the millions of tongues. You see? Just like if someone said, Prabhu, you had a great day on Sankirtan, distributed the record number of books in the history of the movement, so we have a special prize for you, special surprise. Come over here to this warehouse. We have 10,000 glove diamonds for you, Prabhu. Now enjoy your evening. Well, that's but I really appreciate that. But you know, 10,000 glove diamonds. I mean, I'd be in the hospital. You know, I can't handle it. But if you can give me 10,000 tongues, then I can really enjoy those 10,000 glove diamonds. So in the same way, Rupa Goswami is saying, if you can give me millions of tongues, then I can build, then I can start to really get some, at least a more decent, respectable percentage of that nectar that's available in Nama, Krishna Nama. And then he said, and then that Krishna Nama, that Krishna enters the whole of my ears. Oh, there's so much nectar that I need to have millions and billions of years to capture that nectar, trillions of years to capture that nectar. And then he concludes saying, and when that Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered and absolutely stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. So, we have to learn to become Krishna stunned by Krishna, transcendentally stunned in a state of wonder. What is that word? Awestruck. We have to learn how to become awestruck by hearing those two syllables, Krishna. We take it for granted, yeah, I join the Hare Krishnas and they say that I can do this, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Now, you're a cult member then, you're not a realized soul. Don't be a cult member, become a realized soul. Become awestruck by Krishna. That's all you really have to do. Learn how to become awestruck by Krishna. It's as simple as that. Boiled down, becoming self-realized, boils down to that one simple thing. Simply learn how to become awestruck by Krishna. So don't think it's some ordinary syllables. Just like, you know, Mary had a little lamb, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. You see, the karmi, they think like that. We can chant anything, you see. It's all the same. Just like we went to the home of one pious Hindu gentleman in Bangalore some years ago. And he was very proud to show us how he became realized on the spiritual platform. He showed us his puja room. You know how they worship the different demigods, but he took it a notch higher. This little cartoon character in the funny paper was called Dennis the Menace. Maybe you remember him. So he had a doll of Dennis the Menace. He was doing puja to Dennis the Menace. He had become Brahman. He wanted to show us he was fully Brahman realized. He could do puja to Dennis the Menace. Seriously? And he was proud of it. He had a gleam in his eye. He was showing us how he was worshipping Dennis the Menace. I mean, that's Hinduism to the extreme, you know. So, it's not like that. You know? Krishna, in this sense, everything is one, you know, because it's all Krishna in one sense. But the change of Veda Veda, simultaneously one and different. Prabhupada said, he summed it up, the Ashinda Beta Beta philosophy, he very nicely summarized in these terms. He said, everything is Krishna, but nothing is Krishna save and except his primeval personality. So you may say, well, how everything can be Krishna? Well, it's because everything is his emanation. Krishna has expanded himself as everything. There is nothing non-Krishna anywhere within existence. You see? Because Krishna out of himself, aham sarvashapapapo, everything is his emanation. You see, we are also the energy of Krishna. It's confirmed by Gauranga. He says, jivara sarvapahai krishnara nityadas krishnara tatastha shakti veda veda prakash. We are called the tatastha shakti of Krishna, the energy, the marginal energy of Krishna. We are emanated potency. Radharani is also a potency. She is Ladini Shakti. We are Tathasta Shakti. We are all the energy of Krishna. There's no one here who's not the energy of Krishna. You're a particle of Krishna. You're a drop of Krishna. You see. But we are not the complete whole. We're just little tiny parts. You see. Krishna is the gold mine and we're the gold nuggets. You see. That's the difference. So one has to simply reconnect. If the spark is out of the fire, it will die. If the spark is back in the fire, he retains his brilliance. So, in this material world, as stated in the Prajnati Bharata, Krishna Bhairamukha, the living entity, when he turns his face away from Krishna, Maya grabs him and gives him a good slap. So now we are out of the fire in this material existence. We're separated from Krishna. So now we have to reconnect. Krishna consciousness simply means to reconnect with the divine. That's it. We have to get back and become reconnected with the divine. It's a simple matter. And the divine means Krishna. There's a big talk nowadays about the difference between religion and spirituality. They say religion is old-fashioned, it's for fanatics, but people who have good intelligence, they go for spirituality, not for religion. So that's why we're not, you know, we'll chant Hare Krishna at home, but we won't join your movement. Because that would be religion, and that's not good. Spirituality is cool, religion is very, very uncool. That's the modern day philosophy now of the youth, you see. So, and that means they don't know what religion means. That means they're ignorant of what religion means. Religion is a word coming from Latin. The word is religio, which means to relink or reconnect with what? The source of our existence. Somebody also asked me in my email, they said, does being Krishna conscious mean that you have to, how did he say it? You have to hate all the other faiths or something like that, some fanatical statement like that. But Krishna consciousness is not a faith. There's so many religious faiths, but this is not a religious faith. Krishna consciousness is the original nature of the living entity. Every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Absolute Truth. And being one in quality with that Supreme Absolute Truth, he is meant to be connected with that Supreme Absolute Truth. And we can scientifically analyze and see the way that the part connects to the whole is through service. It's like I have this little flashlight I use as lead. You see, every part of this flashlight serves the complete whole flashlight. The strap, the switch, the bulb, you see. Every part of it serves the complete whole. And your body is the same thing. So we see that the part is always meant to serve the complete whole. That's a universal scientific principle. that can be analyzed philosophically, scientifically, intellectually, and verified. So we being part of that Supreme Absolute Whole, that source of all existence, we are naturally meant to serve. And we can also understand that Supreme Source of all existence must necessarily possess personality. Nowadays they want to say that source is impersonal. It's just the oneness, sir. It's not a person. Person means fanatical religion. That's their misconception. That supreme source of all existence must possess personality, just as a gold mine from which you extract gold must necessarily possess gold. The supreme source is an existential mind from which unlimited persons are coming out. So the existential mind cannot be therefore impersonal, because so many persons are coming. I'm a person, you're a person, we're all persons. So you can't get gold out of a goldless gold mine, nor can you get persons out of an impersonal existential mine. Is it? It's simple logic. So the impersonal conception is imperfect and incomplete. The Absolute Truth must necessarily possess personality in order to emanate so many persons from itself. Now, if it is a person, how long do we want to call it? It's a little awkward to call a person it. Well, how's it doing today? You may call it one or two days, or the third day, you say, what do you mean it? I'm not an it, I'm a person. Is it? So, we sometimes philosophically call the Supreme Absolute Truth it. But ultimately that you can't keep doing that. It's rather rude after a while to do that. It's rather rude because it is a person. It's not an it. It's Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. So real religion and real spirituality means to be Krishna conscious. That's it. If you're actually spiritual, in a way that will endure and never become minimized or marginalized or diminished in any way, then you have to come to the personality of God. Otherwise you cannot maintain your spirituality. They want to embrace some impersonal conception to get free from all of the dualities of material existence, but they cannot remain in that position of chag unless they come to the position of understanding the person who is behind all existence. Otherwise their renunciation will go away. Just like my godbrother Kamal Krishna Goswami. He gives a very interesting story. And he was a hippie living out at what was the name of that ashram? In the woods?
Morningstar.
Huh? I forget the name.
Morningstar Ranch.
Actually, I was also a countercultural member in that Haight-Ashbury district. I was invited out to Morningstar Ranch, but I never went out there. But anyway, Tamal Krishna Goswami went out to Morningstar Ranch, and they were living all naked out there. And Vishnu John Swami was also out there. They did kirtan, naked kirtan. But anyway, because Prabhupada had come out. But anyway, he was doing this thing of just taking brown rice, you know, living in a tree and eating brown rice. That was his thing to become spiritual. But he explained that sometimes it is too much. You can come into San Francisco and go to Baskin Robbins and just have an ice cream orgy. you see, it's boga and chag. But then after he accepted Prabhupada, then he could remain in the renounced position. But somebody who tries to be spiritual without actually coming to the personality of Godhead, it won't last. They can go, you know, live naked in a tree. I'm really spiritual, man. I'm living naked in a tree at Morningstar Ranch, eating brown rice. I'm really spiritual. But it won't last, you see. But if you can actually come to the Supreme Person, where you can channel your love In such a way that you get pure reciprocation. See, the impersonalists have to deny the love ultimately. If it's all one, love itself is false. And who wants to live in a world without love? Would you like to live in a world without love? But there's no love? I mean, it's a pretty bleak existence. So that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is perfect love. That's what it means. It means perfect love. If somebody asks you, what is Krishna consciousness? You can tell them it means perfect love. Perfect love without any tinge of selfishness. It's pure selfless love. That's what Krishna consciousness is. So anyway, we have a few minutes left for questions. But speak loudly and clearly. I'm rather deaf. So speak clearly and loudly and like a radio announcer. Then I might be able to understand what you're saying. Any questions? Okay, speak up.
Yeah, please help me understand this. Prabhu, you said that there are so many persons coming out of Krishna.
Yes.
And hence he is a person.
And what?
And so he is a person.
Yes.
There is another comment that so many trees come out of him, so many animals come out of him.
Yes.
And even a non-living thing or a space also.
Yes, they come out of him also, that's true. It's like a person also passes urine, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's impersonal. Or a person has sex life and he can produce a person. Persons can produce persons or impersons. Persons can do that. A person can pass urine or he can pass stamina. In one case the urine comes out, in another case the person comes out. So that argument doesn't stand up, Prabhuji.
So is Lord is both personal and impersonal? Lord is both personal and impersonal.
The Lord has his impersonal aspect, yes. That is called Brahmajyoti.
Yeah.
He has both the personal and the impersonal aspect. But the impersonal, he says, Brahmano Pratishtaham. He says that impersonal aspect is my energy. That's stated in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. You can look it up. Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Brahmano Pratishtaham. That impersonal Brahman, that is my energy. So yes, persons do have their... A person can be impersonal, just like somebody who was really impersonal to me the other day. Persons, you ever had any experience where the person was and behaved you in an impersonal way? Sure, it happens all the time. But did an imperson ever behave you in a personal way? No. Did that rock ever say, how are you doing today, Prabhu? Persons can be impersonal, but impersons can't be personal. So therefore God must be the source of everything, must is this personality. And impersonality is also there as a subordinate energy. And clear? Okay. Anything else? Yes.
You mentioned how Krishna never lets you down.
Krishna
never
lets you down. That's correct. Krishna never, ever, ever lets you down.
For nearby people who are not so inclined towards God consciousness, they do tend to become atheistic and blaming God.
They say that God let them down. That's right. Because they don't realize that God didn't let them down. They say, you know, it's like we have an experience. It was one of our Indian congregational members in Santiago. We have this experience. We just happened to meet him at the airport. We were flying out of the country, and he said he stopped. He was chanting 16 then. He says, "No, I've just chanting a couple. I've given up my intense practice because Krishna let me down. My business failed." Therefore, I've given up my... I just chant a little bit now. I don't chant 16 rounds anymore. He was disappointed that God had let him down, you see. But that means he's ignorant of the science of bhakti. Prabhupada... What did Prabhupada do when Krishna... Did Krishna let Prabhupada down? You see, he had his business, his pharmaceutical business, the factory burned down. His wife said, I'd rather have tea instead of you. League of devotees failed in Jhansi. The bill, his temple was confiscated. He lost everything. He said, oh, Krishna's let me down, I give up. No. He said, Krishna must have some other plan for me. I was thinking this way, I will preach and spread Krishna consciousness. As a householder, I'll make a lot of money, I'll do this, it didn't work out. I'll try preaching in Jhansi with League of Devotees, that didn't work out, you see. Krishna had another plan for him. If I fail in one way, that means Krishna has something else for me. We have to think not what I want, but what does Krishna want. The fact is that even if I undergo some suffering condition, some disaster, some disease, or whatever it may be, it's simply a reaction from my past sinful activities. Even if I'm initiated and the spiritual master took away my karma, still there is that 1% token reactions I'm getting from my past sin. So when something bad happens to me as a result of my past sin, does that mean Krishna let me down? No, it means I'm burning off the reactions from my past sinful activities. I'm becoming purified, just now I'm suffering with deafness, you see. I understand I did something sinful. That has suffered this, so much problem with my ears. I can't come to a kirtan, it hurts my ears too much, you know. I understand this is some sinful reaction. So instead of saying, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? Why don't you cure me? No, I say, Krishna, I don't know why, but I deserve it, and this is for my good. I'm being purified by this suffering I'm going through. You see? So that's the way to see it. And if you do that, if you see it, the point is you have to see everything in a positive way, even the so-called reverse condition. Isn't that what Kunti Devi does? You see? Vipada shantu tasya svatatatata jagandu bhavanam darshanam yastad apunarvava darshanam. My dear Lord, please give me more and more calamities, more and more reverse conditions. Because when they come to me, I can do nothing but see you, and by seeing you, I will no longer see birth in them. So you have to see everything, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, of the mercy of Krishna. Even if the most intense, devastating disaster crashes upon you, Krishna, thank you for blessing me in this way. I don't understand it, but I know you bless me now by this. If you take that mood, everything in a very positive, upbeat way, everything, then you become blissful in all circumstances. Nothing can ever penetrate your transcendental ecstasy. So it's just a matter of proper philosophical analysis, as confirmed in the Bhagavatam. Tatte nukam vangshu shamik shabano unjamna ivatma katam vakakam tadvabhato vibhidam namaste jiveta yomutis tadeita dayavak. My dear Lord, those devotees who are constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who while suffering the reactions for their past misdeeds, continue uninterruptedly to offer you respectful obeisances from within the innermost cores of their hearts, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it's become their rightful claim. They already have their ticket, their reserved seat on that Vaikuntha airplane. Even though they're here in this material world, practically they're already liberated. Even though they're still here in their material bodies, because they have complete faith that Krishna will never let them down in any situation, they see the loving hand of Krishna at every step. Those persons cannot be devastated or caught in anxiety in any condition, even in the most hellish, nightmarish conditions. Look at Bali Maharaj; she's a prime example of that. He was pushed into hell. He said, Krishna, why are you doing this? I surrendered everything to you. You're pushing me into hell? What kind of rascal are you? Did he say that? No. He was grateful. Oh, I got the lotus feet of the Lord in my head. And the Lord became, even though he was in the hellish region, he wasn't. He was in the spiritual world because Krishna was there with him. Krishna came as his doorkeeper to serve him because he was most exemplary devotee in history. Bali Maharaj is one of the 12 great Mahajanas. So we have to remember these great personalities, Mother Kunti, Queen Kunti, Bali Maharaj, how they dealt with reverse conditions. Their reverse condition is simply a state of mind. For a pure devotee, there's no such thing as a reverse condition. So should we remain Kanishthas or should we become pure devotees? What do you think? Should we remain Kanishthas or should we become pure devotees? What's better?
Well, I think I'll stay Kanishthas.
Come on. Give up Kanishtha consciousness, Prabhu. Give up Kanishtha consciousness, Sankarsana Dasadikari. You see, give this up. Give up Kanishtha consciousness. I'm saying it to myself and to all of us. We have to all come to the platform of pure devotion. Because that's where the real nectar is, you see. That's where the real nectar is, unlimited nectar. When we're on that level of pure Krishna consciousness, we just say Krishna wants some of these. We'll just be completely carried away by oceans and oceans of nectar just by saying Krishna even one time. So we have to learn, you know, how to come to this platform, pure devotional service. We have to beg Prabhupada for his mercy, beg our spiritual master for his mercy, beg the Vaishnavas for their mercy to help us get free of our lust, our anger, our greed, our madness, illusion, and be by replacing them with Krishna Krishna. Or Krishna Lalayam, the thirst of the greed for Krishna. So, any other questions? Yes?
She mentioned how we should feel Krishna while chanting. What helps to develop that type of consciousness?
She says that while chanting, we must feel the presence of Krishna. So, to get to that state, what should we develop? How should we
begin? Krishna, please bless me, I can feel your presence. You think he will ignore you? He sincerely asks. Krishna, I know your presence, but I'm such a mayavadi impersonalist, such a lusty, greedy, angry, illusion, mad, envious person, I can't feel your presence. So I'm begging, my dear Lord, please bless me, I can feel your presence. You think he'll deny you your sincere request? Say, no, you won't let you feel my presence. If you humbly beg Krishna, please, my Lord, bless me that I can feel your presence when I see the deity. My dear Radha Balabha, please bless me that I can realize you're actually there, not you're simply some statues. You see? Please bless me, I can understand you're actually here. If you pray like that sincerely, you think the Lord will not reciprocate? Krishna will reciprocate according to the degree and the intensity and the sincerity of your prayer. How much you really desire to feel Krishna's presence, you think? How much you really desire to look upon the deity and understand, yes, that is God himself, but Radharani standing there. They're actually present here. I remember I was standing beside Prabhupada in our Lana temple. I was right there. I would get real close. I was standing on the right side, Prabhupada's right side. The room was packed, but I said, I'm going to get close to Prabhupada because I was rarely with Prabhupada. When I had a chance, I would get really close. I planted myself right on the right side of the Vyasa-sama. And Prabhupada was, this is in Atlanta, but just imagining, you know, the temple room is about the same size. So Prabhupada was gazing upon Garnatai, which was the central deity at that time in Atlanta. And he said, Shri Garnatai, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has appeared in Atlanta. So I was standing there, Prabhupada was looking at the deity, saying how the Lord has appeared in Atlanta. And I was standing looking at the deity. I understood there was an ocean of difference between what I was seeing and what Prabhupada was seeing. You know, we're both seeing, there's a big difference between how I'm seeing and how he's seeing. He can directly see the Lord Chaitanya standing there, you see, directly. And for me, I'm saying, well, there's a deity of Lord Chaitanya standing. So that's our position right now. We're not so connected. That's the sad reality. We're very much disconnected from Krishna right now because we're very much addicted to our sense gratification. That's a fact. So that's why we have to follow these rules. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. If you indulge in them, you see, then you get addicted. That's why we suggest you strictly follow him. Even for householders, I've written a paper now, because many householders think it's okay to have sex within marriage, but actually Prabhupada said no. There's a paper, you go to iskonstandards.com, and there's a whole essay I wrote, actually with the request of the Pune Temple. They asked me to write this paper, and I wrote it for them, and now I posted it on the internet. Even in household life, we meant to follow strict brahmachari principles, unless we're trying to have a child, otherwise strict brahmachari, you see. Because any giving into the senses means we get addicted. We're meant to hold back from the sense gratification so we can get addicted to Krishna. We have to give up these material addictions, because by doing so, now, instead of indulging in sex pleasure, if we indulge in Krishna pleasure, become addicted to Krishna pleasure. We're not against pleasure. In fact, we're the most partying group in the whole world. We party all the time. We're really into partying. You see. The Lord Chaitanya is a Sankirtan party. You see. And actually, that is our ecstasy. This wonderful book distribution that we do, you see, this is our ecstasy. We're feeling the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. And now we want to, and it's very ecstatic to be compassionate and to share the ecstasy. Therefore, we have our book distribution marathon. Right now, marathon going on? Mini marathon?
Yeah, the monthly festival.
Monthly festival. This is a time to get into the ecstasy, you see. Because the more you give the ecstasy, the more you get the ecstasy. So if you want to taste the bliss, then join the Sankirtan Marathon today, isn't it? Yes. And this devotee, are you organizing it for group? You approach him and he will engage you, you see. Actually, there's nothing more ecstatic than distributing these books, because Prabhupada has fully put his vision into these books. Everything that Prabhupada taught us is in these books. So if you will take these books and distribute them, then you become more realized, you see. And the more you read and the more you distribute these books, you become ecstatic, that's all. We see the devotees who are really in the preaching, they're the most ecstatic devotees. They never become discouraged or depressed. Just like my godbrother Vaisheshika Prabhu, my very dear beloved godbrother Vaisheshika Prabhu, his whole devotional career he's been distributing books. He's the most blissful devotee you could ever imagine to meet, Vaisheshika Prabhu. So blissful. He engages whole congregations and takes out, he goes to the temple and he takes out the whole congregation on book distribution. That's the real nectar. The more you can distribute this mercy, the more you can feel the mercy. So we encourage everybody to taste this Sankirtan nectar by joining the book distribution marathon today. Not next week, not next year, not tomorrow, but today. Lay aside some time, give a few hours to go out and give the mercy. There's nothing more ecstatic than being out there on the front line, confronting Kali Yuga right in the face. Say, okay, Kali, get out of here. We're taking over. Prabhupada's movement is taking over. You see, that's what we're doing. By distributing books, we're telling Kali to get the hell out of here. Lord Chaitanya's movement is taking over this planet right now, today. You see, this is revolutionary, distributing these books. There's nothing more. You get special mercy. You say, but it's so risky to go out there. Somebody might say something nasty to me. Somebody might even punch me in the face. I mean, I had somebody pull a gun on me one time. You know. I said, well, I think I'll go to the next person. He doesn't seem to be interested. He didn't pull the trigger. He just wanted to convince me that I shouldn't bother him about, you know. So I got the message. But actually, there's nothing sweeter than Sankirtan actually. Sankirtan nectar means to share the mercy of Lord Chaitanya with everyone. So taste the nectar. Go out there and give the mercy, and I guarantee you will taste the sweetest nectar you ever tasted in millions and billions of lifetimes. You'll taste it right now, today. Go out with the books, approach someone, as Vaisheshika says, he says, the more you show, the more you sell. Don't try to sell the books, just show the books. Show the people the books. My dear sir, I want you to see this book. Just show the books, and they'll buy them automatically. These books sell them. You don't just sell them. I'm not trying to be a salesman. Just show people the books. I'm going to show you this wonderful book. It's so wonderful. It's about Krishna, the source of all existence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's showering unlimited mercy on everyone who takes shelter of him. You just got to show the books, and the books will sell themselves, you see. Just show the books. Sir, I want to show you this book, you see. So anyway, we'll stop here now. So everybody, report in to the Sankirtan organizer and get your books and go out and distribute like anything. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sankirtan Yajna ki jai. Jai.
Hare Krishna, everyone. Just have a quick announcement. So, it's straight after breakfast, all those devotees that can come out and distribute books today. If the Prabhus can meet in the theatre, and the Matajis meet in Prabhupada's room, Bhakti Lata Mataji will be organising teams. Okay, and it's, I guess, around 10 o'clock.